Supervisors, please take your seats. All right, we have 32 people present. That is a quorum. At the outset, I do want to, on behalf of the county board, extend our sympathy to Joe Veenstra, whose father passed away a few days ago. Please keep Joe and his family in your thoughts. And having said that, let's go on to the proclamation. Steve?
Proclamation December 2009, Zoning Planning Land Information Metropolitan Transportation Planning Month. Whereas the staff of these departments assist and advise individuals, businesses, professionals, and governmental communities by uniformly administering the zoning, floodplain, shoreland, subdivision, telecommunication, nonmetallic mining ordinances, and consistently carrying out the provisions of the comprehensive land use ordinances, and whereas they coordinate land information systems for the assessment, taxation, mapping, building permits, planning, and the educational needs of the public and private sector, one of which is the county land records website, and whereas they help provide a safe and efficient transportation system plan, obtaining transportation funding, which is maintained and funded partly through Wisconsin, Minnesota, and federally required Metropolitan Transportation Planning Department. Now, therefore, be resolved, La Crosse County Board does hereby proclaim the month of December 2009 as Zoning, Planning, and Land Information and Metropolitan Transportation Planning Month, and urges all residents to join in recognizing the valuable contributions of the staff dedicated to promoting the public health, safety, and property tax base through encouraged planning, planned and orderly land use development.
Okay, we'll give you a couple of seconds to catch your breath now. Moved by Don Meyer, seconded by Bill Brockmiller. Discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Carried unanimously. Okay, that gets us to the resolution regarding the block grant. Tara Johnson.
Mr. Chair, we have an update.
We have an update?
LEC edition update. Item number two on tonight's agenda.
Oops, I'm reading executive committee. I'm on the wrong one. Let's do the LEC edition update. Never mind, Tara Johnson. I probably shouldn't have checked that I was here. All right, go ahead.
Mr. Chair, we've got Mike Schechter and Val Schut from River Architects and Market and Johnson going to do the report. While they're walking up here, I just want to point out to members of the Legislative Committee, we did not meet today, but we're having a meeting of the Legislative Committee Monday, December 14th at 9 o'clock. You have that agenda on your desk. We're inviting the legislators there. And so if you're not on the Legislative Committee, you're welcome to come Monday morning, 9 o'clock in room 3220. Thank you.
Hello, everyone. I'm Mike Schechter from Market and Johnson. For those of you who don't know me, I'm the project manager on the project over there. Just like to give you a little update where we're at. You know, it's a pretty complex building that we're putting together over there. And to start out the project, where we stand right now is approximately about 7 to 8 weeks behind our original schedule that we made probably a half a year before the project even began. Which is kind of a tough thing to put something like that together for the type of building that we're putting up. I'd like to explain a little bit about some delays that we've had and then also explain some extra progress that we've made lately to the schedule. First of all, the transformer and switchgear. For any of you that don't know, there was a transformer sitting where the addition is going right now. That was for the existing building. And we built a little generator building that has switchgear in it for the new that takes up the addition and the existing building. Well, we had to wait for quite a period of time to receive that switchgear. Then we could fire up the new transformer and take down the old transformer. Well, that tallies about 3 to 4 weeks of the schedule right there waiting for that to all to happen. In December, last December, which we all forgot of now because it's this December, but last December we had quite a few days that were below zero, close to 30 below, and I couldn't get very many people to come and work those days, so there was just a few days, probably about 5 total days in there. In July, this July, our mason contractor started building our cells with regular block. I think pretty much all of you people know that, and we figured out what they were doing. We stopped them, told them what they needed to do, and then they had to order the burnish block. Well, burnish block is taking a regular block and grinding the face so you can see the aggregate. Looks a little bit different. Well, it's a special order item. So there was, and they did a great job. We all thought it was going to be 6 to 8 weeks to get the material, and we got it in 4 weeks. So they did a great job getting it on time or in a short time. But then that delayed building the cells up in the second floor housing area. And then obviously in October, when we had the roof off and still working in that area, we didn't have very much luck with our weather because it rained about 2 weeks straight. And we can't build masonry cells in the rain. You can't do some of that work. Obviously, we could continue on first floor where we had the roof on. Now I'd like to tell you some good news. In November, we actually gained in quite a few areas. So when you do, I know you guys are going to talk about doing a tour of the building coming up here. When you see it, you'll be able to see a lot of good things that happen. And we are continually, my superintendent that's on site every day, we're working to try to figure out what things we can start ahead of what it says on our original schedule that we made. So we are making up some time in some areas. So I don't have all bad news to tell you. Right now, masonry on the addition is probably 95 to 98% complete. All done up on second floor, just finishing on ground floor in the booking area. And working his way out the vehicle sally port. So that's all that needs to be done there. We're working on the fireproofing up on the second and third floor cells. And that process probably takes about 2 to 3 weeks. And then after he's done fireproofing all the steel, he gets done with that, then our MEPs, our mechanical, plumbing, electrical, they can come in and start doing all the rough in, and our painter can follow. So then you'll be able to start to see other things happen up in that area. then phase one, we look to be complete mid-April. What it looks like to me now, if we can, I won't promise anybody it's going to be done any sooner than that. That's what I've been working on. If we can, we will finish earlier, obviously. Then at that time, we'll start phase 1A, which if you know where the existing sally port, the vehicle sally port is, we left that area of the building out to the south. That area we're going to finish then. They'll start occupying and using the addition, and then we'll go in and finish that little space down on first floor and in that ramp area along Vine Street. And we'll also go up into second floor housing and start remodeling the three blocks and making them into four. And then that also ties and connects you into the existing addition up on second floor. So you'll notice, if any of you have noticed now, this screen wall that's out here that you see next to the parking lot, right above that we put a temporary roof on. That's where we're going to enter into the building while we're doing that remodeling. So we didn't have to make an extra opening in your outside of your building so it looked like a patch. Took a little bit of time to figure that process out, but that's where we're going to enter the building, and then we'll close that area up later on when we're done. So you'll never know that there was a patch to the building or anything like that. And then the last phase should be in August. We'll start that, and then I look to be complete by the end of January 2011. And obviously, if we can work on any way to speed things up or to start a process earlier, we will. Also like to update you on budget a little bit. Right now, what I show is approximately 70% of the owner direct purchase, which the county is purchasing the materials, is bought and billed and on site. So there's things, you know, like let's say there's 57% is what we figure is installed. So like a boiler, for example, there's boilers sitting up in a mechanical room. You bought, they're sitting up there, but they're not complete, not hooked up. There's, you know, duct work. There's things that people got to buy ahead of time so they can install while they're going. So that's about where it stands. 70% of it's bought, 57% installed. And right now where we stand with contingency, with all the different adds and the deducts that we had, approximately 37% of the contingency is used, and about another 6% of it is out pending yet, which we proposals together, but they're still pending for approval, which I think we're doing well in that area right now. And then, you know, you got to understand all the challenges that arise in a type of project like this. And I know, you know, some of you people might have questions on where we're going with the PRs or the contingency, but the type of project that you're putting together, you're going to find things, you're going to run into things that you either didn't plan or you figured out as you're going that it's not exactly right and you need to take care of it and move on. And that's why you put together a contingency and have something on the project like that. If another area I think you guys might be curious about, Third Street, we kind of been screwing up the flow of traffic. Well, originally I think it was October that we planned on moving that back. Well, then with our delay of the Burnish block, that kind of held the things up. So I had to go back to the Common Council and I had to ask them for a delay in that. So right now, at the end of this year, at the end of December, we'll slide the barricades back along and we'll still keep the parking lane. So we got some room to work, some room to get into the vehicle sally port, stuff like that. But we had to leave it out that long so we could get the roof on, get the crane work done. Just the outriggers, you know, from the crane have to have enough spread on it to get out there. So I don't know if you guys have, I don't think I have anything else. Do you have any questions?
Mike, for the, we talked about doing a tour. About how long would that tour last?
Oh, half an hour to 45 minutes.
And how much of the board would you want at the same time? I mean, could we do them all, or do you want to break it
into two, three, four? Well, we kind of discussed maybe breaking it up into two, three groups, I think, is okay. What we talked about.
Jim?
I have to come up to the mic or they yell at me. We talked about that quite extensively, actually. We wanted to do it tonight, but we don't feel it's prudent to do it at night in the dark. So what I propose is that we, well, maybe. what I propose is that we try to do it after each committee meeting in January. Standing committee meetings, the only one that will be a problem is human services, but we'll have to work on that. But that keeps it down to a 7 or 8 member group. It's manageable if we get 35 people in there. I know you're going to be all over the place, and we need to stay in a orderly fashion up there. So what did people think about that?
Well, like after Public Works would be before County Board, so it would be dark at that point.
Yeah, that's not
a problem, though.
We would have to work those things out, so maybe it's before Public Works. And, you know, I know Supervisor Burns comes right at 4, and maybe he can slip into one of the other ones. But
okay.
I'd prefer to do it during the daylight, and I know Mike would prefer that, too.
What do people think of that? Work out for you?
Or okay. I could schedule some times and you can sign up. I mean, that works too. So
it'll be like after each of the committees?
Yeah, like aging and long-term care is Monday mornings.
So even if you are not on that committee, feel welcome to go, say, after aging meets or after judiciary and law meets, whatever. What we'll do is try to do some sort of a sign-up sheet when we get closer to that date so that we know kind of what to expect for each one.
Yep.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, in fact, why don't you do up like a chart and then we can do a sign-up that we just pass around.
Should I do that for next week's county board meeting?
Makes
sense, or is that too soon?
That's probably when we're going to have to do it because, the January planning would be the same day as that first.
I'll put together some dates and times.
Yeah,
and
do it for next
and work
week.
It around committee meetings and do a sign-up.
Okay, that sounds good. Okay, questions for Mike. Tara.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mike, you talked about 37% of the contingency is spent, and then you said another figure after that started with a 6, but I didn't hear what you said.
6%?
That an additional 6% is committed? Is
pending.
That just pending. And it was 6%? So total, so roughly 45%. We're not at 45% yet.
42.
Okay. Thank you.
Other questions people have? All right. Mike, thank you very much. Appreciate it. Got an easy crowd tonight.
Yes, I do.
You'd think there was like a game or something on later on. All right. Now, Tara Johnson.
And this would be the CDBG one, right?
Right.
Or which one are we doing first?
Oh, wait, no, you're right.
12-2. Build
yeah,
America,
Build
sorry.
Build America bonds is first.
Resolution 12-2 to the honorable members of the La Crosse County Board of Supervisors regarding authorization to borrow $6,500,000 as Build America bonds from the trust funds of State of Wisconsin for the purpose of financing a portion of the Law Enforcement Center addition project. Whereas, by the provisions of Section 24.66 of Wisconsin statutes, all municipalities may borrow money for such purposes in the manner prescribed. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the County of La Crosse, Wisconsin, borrow from the trust funds of the State of Wisconsin the sum of $6,500,000 for the purpose of financing the construction expenses of the Law Enforcement Center addition project and for no other purposes. Be it further resolved, the loan is to be payable within 10 years from the 15th day of March preceding the date the loan is made. The loan will be repaid in annual installments with interest at the rate of 4.50% per annum from the date of making the loan to the 15th day of March next, and thereafter annually as provided by law. Be it further resolved that there shall be raised and there is levied upon all taxable property within the County of La Crosse, Wisconsin, a direct annual tax for the purpose of paying interest and principal on the loan as it becomes due. Be it further resolved that no money obtained by the County of La Crosse by such loan from the state be applied or paid out for any purpose except financing the construction expenses of the Law Enforcement Center Addition Project without the consent of the Board of Commissioners of Public Lands. Be it further resolved that in case the Board of Commissioners of Public Lands of Wisconsin agrees to make the loan, that the chairman and clerk of the county will perform all necessary actions to fully carry out the provisions of Chapter 24 Wisconsin statutes and these resolutions. The fiscal note is that sufficient funding has been provided for in the debt service fund to make the annual payment to the state. I move its approval.
Moved by Tara Johnson, second by Vicki Burke. Gary Engelson will give us an explanation of what this is all about.
1 year ago, La Crosse County applied for and received a $10 million loan from the state trust fund. However, we did not draw down a full $10 million. We did draw down $3.5 million. And then in January of 2009, we actually issued $19.5 million of general obligation bonds because the interest rate fell at that point in time. So we have not drawn down the remainder $6.5 million from the state trust fund. Also, what's happened in the last year or so, in the spring of 2009, is the federal government, in order to encourage public investment and economic development, came up with an idea that for those governmental entities that issue certain bonds, the federal government will rebate the interest costs in the amount of 35%. So Steve and I talked to the Department of Trust Funds, and what we are essentially doing is canceling that original $6.5 million line of credit and passing a new resolution for $6.5 million. We had to pass a new one in order to qualify for the federal rebate program. We will, in fact, pay the interest costs of 4.5%, and then after each time that we pay it, we apply to the federal government for a 35% rebate. The net interest cost will be about 3%.
Questions for Gary? Joe Veenstra.
Thank you. Gary, I should have asked you at the earlier meeting, but what happens to that rebate money when it comes in? Do we use it to pay down the remaining principal amount, or does it go into a special fund, or what?
It will be determined by the county board, but that is, you know, from my perspective, we Steve and I would recommend that we pay down the debt.
Margaret Wood.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. We're applying for these funds. Are we assured that we're going to receive them, the new funding from the federal
Well,
government?
This is a formal process that we have to go through. To the best of my knowledge, I mean, I think it's, you know, 90%, 90-some percent guaranteed, but there is a trust fund board, and they will have to, once they receive our application and they receive this resolution, they will then meet and decide whether or not they will grant us the loan. But, I mean, from the administrative staff has given us every indication that it will be approved, but it's up to the board.
So it's still a state board that's going to either accept or deny?
Correct.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions or discussion? John Menninger.
Yeah, I was just curious. This is a $29.5, $30 million project. And how much have we borrowed? Assuming this passes, it'll pass, and then we borrow the money. How much have we borrowed then so far?
It would be $29.5 million.
We've borrowed it all then?
Yes.
Okay.
Any other questions or discussion? Jerry Sobranek.
Yeah, on the same point, there is a resolution for said up to 29.5. How does this affect the bottom line? Is this going to be an addition, or is this going to be worked into that same figure? How does that work, Gary?
Yes, this $6.5 million is part of the original $29.5 million.
Anybody else? Other questions or discussion? Seeing none, all in favor of the resolution say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Carried unanimously.
Item 12-3, to the honorable members of the La Crosse County Board of Supervisors, regarding authorization to participate in the Wisconsin Community Development Block Grant for Economic Development Program. Whereas federal monies are available under the Community Development Block Grant Program administered by the State of Wisconsin Department of Commerce for the purpose of economic development, and whereas after public meeting and due consideration, the La Crosse County Board recommends that an application be submitted to the State of Wisconsin for the following project: Skipperliner Industries, Inc., Working Capital. And whereas the County Board has reviewed the need for the proposed project and the benefits to be gained therefrom, now therefore be it resolved that the La Crosse County Board does approve and authorize the preparation and filing of an application for the above-named project, and the Board Chairman is hereby authorized to sign all necessary documents on behalf of the county. And the fiscal note is $331,000 would come from the State of Wisconsin Community Development Block Grant for Economic Development, also known as CDBG-ED program, $6,000 for administration, and $325,000 to loan to Skipperliner Industries, Inc. The state has indicated that this loan is contingent upon the La Crosse County Economic Development Fund loaning an additional $175,000 from its revolving loan funds. The state-funded revolving loan fund has a cash balance of $335,859.67 as of 10/30/2009. The full $500,000 loan would be paid back to the La Crosse Economic Development Fund revolving loan fund at 2% interest, with interest-only payment for the first 12 months, followed by 14 months of equal monthly payments of principal and interest on a five-year amortization, followed by a final balloon payment in the 37th month. I move its approval.
Moved by Tara Johnson, seconded by Audrey Cotter. Discussion. Actually, I'm going to call on Brian Fukuda, our community development specialist, to kind of explain some of the details of what this resolution relates to.
Okay, thank you. What's before you is a resolution that basically just authorizes us to apply for funding for a grant from the State of Wisconsin Community Development Block Grant for Economic Development Program. Basically how the process works is Skipperliner Industries approached the State of Wisconsin and asked them for a loan of $500,000. The state then analyzes the project. If the state approves of the project, they then ask the county to apply for this grant for the purpose of loaning those funds to Skipperliner. The state contacted the county, asked us to apply for these funds, but indicated that since we do have a balance in our fund, our current revolving loan fund that was funded from previous projects from the same program, that they would ask us to provide, that they would ask the Economic Development Fund to provide that $175,000 as a match in addition to the $325,000 that we would be asking the state to provide. The benefit to the county is that then the whole $500,000 is then paid back to the county on the terms that were set in the loan. So the County Economic Development Fund has acted on this and has basically approved the loan contingent upon receiving these grant dollars from the state of Wisconsin. So what we're asking of you tonight is to authorize us to apply to the state of Wisconsin for these grant dollars. So the amount is $331,000. $325,000 would be loaned to Skipper Liner. The additional $6,000 is for administration of that grant and the loan. So
that's questions of Brian or discussion. Margaret Wood.
Thank you. Brian, say the piece again, the $175,000 plus the $325,000, and then only the $175,000 comes from the county. The $325,000 comes from the state. But when it is repaid, tell me about that part again.
It's all paid back to the county revolving loan fund.
We get $500,000 back?
Correct, plus interest. And it's because this is a grant to La Crosse County for the purposes of making this loan, we keep the entire amount.
Okay.
And upon then repayment.
I hope this doesn't come true, but if it would be defaulted upon, what order, where is the county in the pecking line in terms of getting repaid?
Pretty low. But these CDBG dollars are really last resort financing. This is not your typical bank loans. I mean, if a company can get a typical bank loan, we won't even look at it because this is a last resort financing. And because of that, our collateral position is usually very low. As part of this loan, we would have, and Greg may be able to answer this a little bit better. Greg Flogstad from the Regional Planning Commission manages our revolving loan funds for us. We actually contract with Regional Planning to do that, but our security is pretty minimal.
Second position on real estate.
Greg, can you microphone?
We would have a second position on real estate, and I just asked Nolan that would be behind U.S. Bank.
Joe Billings. Oh, are you, Margaret, you done yet?
Well, I was just wondering, what would the county be owed, the 175 or the 175 plus 325? Or the state gets the 325 and
the way the repayment schedule would work is
no, I don't mean if it goes well. I'm saying if we are the last peg on the list.
This is a grant from the state of Wisconsin to the county for purposes of loaning. So the loan comes strictly from us. So the state grants us the money and the loan comes strictly from us. So the state has no security position on this. Okay. This is a grant from them.
Okay, and then that is the same situation with our original 175?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Jill Billings.
I just want to clarify. So if something happens and Skipper Liner defaults, once the state gives this the money over, the CDBG money, we're not responsible to the state for anything, right? They're hands off at that point. So we just take the fall ourselves from that money that we would have gotten to put back in our coffers.
Correct.
Okay. It mentions a final balloon payment in the 37th month. Do we have any idea about what that would be, that final payment?
I do have an amortization schedule that
it's $107,090.80.
I'm sorry, would you say that again?
$107,090.80.
Okay. Then is this way that the state asked for a matching loan from the county, is this a common request for these CDBG funds, or is this a little bit unusual?
It's common. We've never had this before, I don't believe, in our funds, but it is common because those funds were originally granted from them and then paid back to us in a similar situation. So they typically, when they're reviewing these, ask the local municipality, well, if we've already given you some money and it's just sitting in your account, you know, let's get it back out there. And we certainly make efforts to get it back out there. We just haven't had the loan request that for it. But as you'll see, we do have over 330-some thousand in that account, of which we would only be loaning 175 of that to Skipperliner, which means we do still have a considerable amount in that fund for other loans. Our loans typically aren't over $100,000. I mean, we make much smaller loans on a typical loan application. So,
and that was my other question. Are there lots of is there high demand for that pool of money that's loaned out, or
it depends? But we've made already this would be our fourth loan this year, and of varying amounts, but we typically don't have a lot of excess cash sitting in those funds. We really and credit to Greg and his staff, and they really try to get that money back out into the community and you know, working to build our economy, build jobs, build tax base, because that's what the funds are there for. So,
okay. And finally, there was a mention of jobs in the paperwork that we received. Is there any guarantee of a certain number of jobs or any jobs at all?
There'll be a loan agreement that the state will draw up, and they put in a penalty payment that Skipperliner would have to pay if they do not create what they're saying. Here they're saying they're going to create 50 jobs within 2 years and hold them for 2 years, and if they don't, they have to make some penalty payments to the county.
Okay, thank you.
Gary had some follow-up.
I need to clarify my previous answer in regard to the balloon payment. The dollar amount that I gave you was correct. That is on the $175,000 portion. There's an additional balloon then on the state's $325,000. That amount of that balloon payment would be $198,883. So it would actually be the two amounts together.
Monica Cruz.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Does the county currently hold a stake in Skipperliner? Have we lent them money before?
We have. We've actually, Skipperliner has helped us to build some of these revolving loan funds by getting previous grants from the state. We do currently have some other outstanding loans with Skipperliner, but they haven't missed any payments to the state. So.
Okay, so if they were to go into, you know, default, if they were to go belly up, we would probably end up not having a repayment on those. Is that right?
Correct.
Okay.
Ann Fisher.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I feel strongly that we should support this. I think we're doing it at pretty low risk, and they're a good local company. And they ran into some hard times with, you know, the bad recession that we all know that we just went through. Everybody was affected somehow, and, you know, big boats are sort of a luxury. And they've already restructured their company, and they have contracts in the works right now. You got a sheet that spells it out pretty clearly. So I just feel strongly that we should support this local company, and also they have subcontracts with several other local companies in the La Crosse area. So, you know, they have not defaulted on loans to the county before. I just feel strongly that we should support this, and, you know, in the end we'll probably end up with $325,000 extra in the revolving loan fund that we didn't have before, so I'm all for it. Thanks.
Ralph Geary.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm not as concerned about the balloon payment at the end, because at that point in time, we can always renegotiate or refinance or put them on a payment plan or something else when the balloon comes up. That's 3 years down the line. I think the point was made earlier, they can't get traditional bank financing. So if we don't pursue this route, I'm assuming that's going to put that company in a extremely difficult position. And as Ann mentioned, when they build these boats, they build them in conjunction with other contractors. I think their name is on the, quote, loan, but that Mid-City Steel and the electrical companies and, you know, there's a group or something that builds these things, although they'd be the primary one we're dealing with.
Joe Veenstra.
I just wanted to make sure we were correct about our status when we give the money out as far as the lineage of the liens or the secured interest in the loan, because I just want to make sure, because it says Town of Campbell has a loan for about $355,000 historically, and then you had U.S. Bank, and we had a prior loan before that's still active, and so I don't know if that would make us tertiary or where in the line, but I'm trying, how did we get second?
I guess that's a good point. The Town of Campbell, we actually, I think, have a collateral agreement, the county does, with the Town of Campbell and Xcel Energy and us from a previous loan, and then this would be below that. Yeah, I guess, yeah, if you look at it that way. But we have a collateral, I forgot about the collateral agreement. And actually, I'm not sure how, where that exactly stands, because they paid off, there's only one outstanding loan to Skipper Liner. One time there was two, and Skipper Liner paid one off. And where that collateral agreement is right now, I guess, off the top of my head, I can't remember.
Jerry Sobranek.
Thank you. If the worst-case scenario happens and this thing should go into default, who bites the bullet, and how is La Crosse County protected from any further payments or anything?
Let's have Bill respond to that.
The difficulty with all of these loans is the banks usually have the first position, so they have generally a lot of money stuck in to these projects. If they default and there's a foreclosure, in essence, if we were to buy off the primary loan, you would put a lot more money at risk. So in most cases, it isn't worth it to us to do that. If there's excess funds, fine. But what generally happens is that the banks bid in the amount of their mortgage, and since that usually is a whole lot more than ours, we would have to bid above that to get the property. And usually, you don't want to spend a lot more money to, you know, in this kind of economy, whether or not the manufacturing facility could be sold. At any kind of profit is a difficult question, because it's a going concern now, but if they go out of business, it would not be.
But an important thing to point out, and was mentioned a little bit earlier, none of this money started out as county money. All of this money came from the state. There's no property tax dollars involved in this at all. And that money that we've already got in there, too, right? I mean, we don't have a dime of property tax dollars ever to Skipper Liner. Am I correct on that?
Well, the $335,000 that Brian was referring to in the fund that we would take $175,000 from, all of that was originated from the state, and then interest that we've earned from money that we've lent to businesses. So you're right. There's no property tax money in there.
Okay. You go ahead, Jerry.
So I guess my question is, I'm assuming you got mechanisms in place to protect La Crosse County, and that's what I'm wondering about. What is there any percentage that we could be held liable for anything, 10%, 100%, anything? Are we totally protected?
You mean if they go belly up?
10-4.
Worst case scenario, we lose the money that they owe us, right?
Thank you.
Yes, that's correct.
Sure. Okay. Got a few names on here. I want to make sure that I have gotten all the hands that I've seen. So here's what I have on my list. John Menninger, Leon Paff, Audrey Cotter, Bridget Flood, Andrea Richmond. Is there anybody I missed that I haven't gotten? Okay, Don Meyer, will add you on the list too. Then John Menninger, you're up.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. You know, I've been involved in a few economic development deals over the years, and there's always some element of risk in it, but there's also an element of opportunity. And I think you can dwell on the risk and the negative, or you can dwell on the possibilities. You know, we had the City Brewery closed a few years ago, and people never, ever thought we'd get that thing going again. And today it's a going entity. There was some money the city had to put in up front. A lot of people thought we were crazy and they were never going to get the money back. It was just going to be a rusty old part of town down there. But there's 300-plus jobs there today and economic vitality, and it's doing well. LHI came along, another great opportunity, and the city of La Crosse had to put millions and millions up front in that project. And look at the vitality down there today. Those good jobs, the good wages, the other spin-off benefits, and you go down there, you can't hardly find a place to park your car. And that's a good problem to have with those types of things. You know, so there is a small element of risk. But, you know, Skipperliner and Noel Jordan, those folks have been around for a long time. They're good employers. They provide a lot of economic vitality. And if you talk to your constituents, it's about jobs. That's what they say. You know, La Crosse needs more jobs. And a lot of times the jobs that you create are with your existing employers. Everybody wants to bring in an employer from someplace and create 1,000 jobs. Well, that's very, very difficult. But a lot of the jobs, look at Quick Trip. You know, what a wonderful success story and the jobs they've created in the last few years. And I think that the risk on this is so minimal. We should just do it, and hopefully it's overwhelming. Thank you.
Leon Paff.
Yes, thank you. I agree with John there. And I just wanted a little bit of a clarification on what Ralph said. The only one that is responsible here is Skipper, but it's none of these subcontractors are signing on to anything, right? Am I right or not? I mean, this list of Mid-States and Kish, none of them are signing on.
Skipperliner Industries will be the business entity that we will have the loan with.
Right. So what I'm saying is none of these other ones have to sign on to that, the working with it. No.
That's correct. They will not sign on.
I was just clarifying what Mr. Geary said here. I thought the way he stated it that they would be responsible too, but they're not. Skipperliner alone is responsible.
Correct.
Okay. Thank you.
Audrey Cotter.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The most recent comments have focused more on the economic development aspect of this piece of business, and that's what I think we should really be focusing on, because the very fact that we have this revolving loan fund, it was established not for the purpose of going into the banking business and lending money, but for the purpose of stimulating the economy and increasing employment in the county. And even though we're just talking about in the handout, 50 and 80 jobs or something like that, it's not only the jobs that are affected at Skipperliner. It also, referring to the people that Mr. Paff mentioned, all of the additional subcontractors, Mid-City Steel, I know, is a major, major dependent of a successful Skipperliner and maintaining its workforce. Kish Electric, La Crosse Mechanical, CNC Machine, Roosevelt's Glass Service and Fiber Fab, all of these people, if you were to count up the number of employees of those companies that would be likely laid off or else at least called back from layoff, we're looking at a very significant economic impact on the county. And so I would certainly encourage us to focus on that aspect of it. We have not invested $1 of county taxpayer money in the revolving loan fund. We're very fortunate that the state provided the money, the seed money, and it has now grown to the fact that we have almost $400,000 available to loan. And so I just thought it was important for us to focus on the purpose of what it is, and I would encourage my fellow board members to support this, please.
Bridget Flood.
Thank you. What she said.
I like that. Andrea Richmond.
What County Board Supervisor Cotter said, and I agree, everybody should take a look at the executive summary. It sums it up. We cannot afford to lose any more jobs in our community. I move for adoption on this.
We've got a couple more people who haven't spoken yet. I want to cover them first before we take a vote, but we're getting toward the end here. Don Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Greg or Brian, maybe you can answer this on its executive summary. The first three bullets are kind of vague. They bid on, there's pending orders, we're bidding on two more. What do either one of you know? What do they really have? Have they got some business now that they're really going to be working on? Or these three don't really say much to me.
They do. I think they've got a display. Noel, do you have that that display board? But they actually have, I think it's four halls that are somewhere along the process of being developed, and those are boats that are financed and currently being built. So they do have activity going on up there, and these are bids that they're working on and trying to continue that. So
above and beyond these three bullets, they have something that they're actively working on.
Right.
There's a big project that will be starting February 1st that they told us about. And by the way, to let you know, the Economic Development Committee met twice with Skipper Liner on this loan, and then what I would call the Executive Committee of the Economic Development Fund met with them an additional time to get more information.
I'm sure they did a good job of what they're looking at, but these 3 points kind of vague in what they're saying here. Thank you.
Tara Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The last bullet point under current activity. Actually, who prepared this?
Noel did.
Okay. Since last Thursday's meeting. I applaud your brevity, Mr. Jordan. the last bullet under current activity says 11 jobs have already been added. So now they only need to add 39 jobs. And those 11 are working on those current projects, Brian, that you referenced. Yes?
Yes.
Okay. So as far as the state's concerned, it was 50 new jobs in that loan commitment or whatever it is, the loan agreement, 50 jobs from the time that they made the offer.
Right.
Okay, so those 11 will count towards the 50, not just because
right.
Noel put it on this piece of paper. The state's going to be okay with that. Okay, good.
Once they made the offer, anything that occurs after that, they can start counting jobs.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Jeff Schrader.
I really don't need to speak, I guess, because everybody has said a lot of good things, and there are a lot of good things going on over Skipper Liner. They've got a tremendous capital investment. If anybody has ever been over there, they have a huge capital investment there, and they have pared down their operations to the core business, I guess. And these people, they have gone out, and their problems, they have gotten agreements with people, they're repaying everyone. And the state, the documentation that they had to provide the state, they say that they're within the top 5% of the recovery of public monies. So I would hope that everyone would support this, and if they would get only a portion of some of the things that are possibly coming down the pipe with the federal government and so on, is building these boats, they'll be in tremendous shape. And if they get one of these things, I believe, according to Noel, that they'll be well on their way to recovery.
Any further discussion? Well, let's try this. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Carried unanimously. That gets us to future agenda items. Anybody have any? Seeing none. Anybody want to make a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Moved by Bill Brockmiller, second by Jerry Sobranek. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Carried unanimously. Good evening. Go Pack.